World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Got to confess to you, I could go about 30 different directions here this morning. And before I jump out and get paddling here, I just want to, again, I want to acknowledge or try to acknowledge this is called Coach Dave Live, but it ain't about me. I'm the choir director. There's no doubt about it. I'm the choir director. But I try to do the best I can to let you have your place at the table here today. Somebody's got to direct the band, right? Somebody's got to call the plays, and that is Coach Dave. That's me. But friends, I'm telling you, this show ain't about me. It isn't about me. And you remember the days of old Rush Limbaugh when he said we were on a relentless pursuit of the truth. And I really feel that's where I'm an equal opportunity, equal opportunity criticizer, whatever. If it ain't true, I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it. You guys remember Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, so much of what we do and have been taught is simply tradition with no underlying basis for it. Oh, there's an underlying basis, but you know, truth in it, much of it. And I'm not here to try to say to you, listen to me, I got the truth. That's not what I ever try to do here. I try to say, what do you think about this? They've been telling us this for 30 years. What do you think about this? And I also like to say 44,000 Christian denominations. Somebody's lying to somebody. Would anybody want to disagree with that? 44,000 different denominations. Somebody ain't telling the truth.
Amen.
Now, the problem is we don't know who it is, do we? We don't. And so I come here. I try to be an equal opportunity. As I said earlier, I try to offend. I don't try to offend anybody. But I'm not ashamed to ask a question that might offend everybody. Bear with me today. And we are in, well, pull it up real quick for me. Pull it up, Jude 3. I'm going someplace. Jude 3. I know, Michelle. I know. I just heard her say in the spirit. Do the same thing every day. I know. Because why? Repetition is the art of education. At some point, it's going to hit you. Wow, he's right, right? Number one, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Paul, I could preach right there. Right there, I could preach. He's the brother of James. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. I thought she was ever virgin. Somebody help me out here. Because evidently, Jesus Christ had a brother, James. Did anybody see that other than me? Now, we know Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We understand that. Mary was not conceived by an act of sex with Joseph. It was a supernatural conception. No doubt about it. Jesus had brothers. Come on. It says right there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James. All right. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Brethren, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What was that faith? What is it that even we today in 2025 September 10th, 2025, we're supposed to be contending for the faith. But let me ask you something right now. Of all the 44,000 44,000 denominations are Christians. Is Christianity contending for Christianity? Or is Christianity contending for denominationalism? Or is denominationalism contending for Christianity? Maybe that would be a better way. Why? Because there's certain men crept in. That I don't know what you guys think. When you creep in, crept in, you mean you snuck in. Snuck in. So certain men have snuck in. We didn't see them coming. We didn't realize what they were doing. They were undermining us. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. What? Ordained? Who ordained them? Dudes, who ordained these ungodly men? Who ordained them? Turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness. Hey, Spencer, for the slow learners out there, what is lasciviousness? Go to Webster. What is it? I'd say it's loose living. That'd be me. Loose living. Lasciviousness is loose, irregular indulgence of animal desires. Huh? Hey, folks, come on now. Come on now. Has Christianity in most evangelical churches become about fulfilling indulgences, animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness? You can get, you can get, you can get. Praying, you get, praying, you get, praying, you get, praying, you get, praying, you get. Would people go to church if the pastor said, put up a sign outside, everyone who enters here will die a martyr? How many people would go to that church? How many? No, we ain't seeking to do that, are we? Go back to Jude. Let me get this out of me first. For there are certain men crept unaware who were before of old ordained to this ungodly man, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord God. So evil men have crept in. By the way, still creeping in today. That's why there's 44,000 denominations. And I don't come here today and tell you I know the truth, because I don't know it all. I believe a lot. I have been taught a lot of things that are not true. Still teaching them. Still teaching them. And I'm going to tell you, if at some point you are earnestly contending for the faith, it's going to cost you. You're going to get the left foot of fellowship in a church if you are contending for the faith. With me? Okay, pull up something. This is really good. Really good. The Lord warned us, by the way, there's going to certain men crept in, and it changed the gospel. They have changed the gospel. Pull up Tozer. Tozer on Satan. This is really good. I just found this out of nowhere. A.W. Tozer was an early 20th century theologian, writer, communicator. Many have heard of Tozer. You tell me or not, yes or no, if this is what's going on in America. All right? Tozer writes, many times in history, the Christians in various towns, cities, and even whole countries have given up their defense for reasons wholly evil. In other words, Christians stopped defending the faith. Why? Worldliness, sinful pleasures, personal ungodliness have often been the cause of the church's disgraceful surrender to the enemy. Oh, man. I could stop right there. The cause of church's disgraceful surrender to the enemy. Is there anybody out there watching today that would deny the fact that American Christianity, for the most part, has surrendered to the enemy? Anybody? We're waiting for an escape valve. Jesus told us to go to all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And instead, we meet, retreat, hide inside our stained glass fortresses, sneak outside of our churches, try not to impact the culture at all, and somehow make it to next Sunday. You don't have to boom. It's telling the truth. That's what Tozer's talking about here. Today, however, Satan's strategy is different. Though he still uses the old methods where he can do so with success, his more effective method is to paralyze our resistance by appealing to our virtues. especially the virtue of charity. By the way, charity is love. He first creates a maudlin and wholly inaccurate concept of Christ, the modern evangelist, pastor, teacher. He creates a figure that is not, it's not Jesus. And it is a soft, smiling, intolerant. That'd be a boom. He reminds us, folks, this is the devil infiltrating the modern American church, okay? The devil reminds us that Christ was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, Jesus, just like that, didn't open his mouth and suggests that we should go and do likewise. In other words, don't open our mouth, don't fight back, love everybody, love, 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 love. Then, if we notice his foot in the door and rise to oppose him, the devil. I'm sorry. Then if we notice his foot in the door and rise to oppose him, he, Satan, appeals to our own desire to be Christ-like. The devil appeals to it, to us to be Christ-like. You must not practice negative thinking, the devil tells us. Jesus said, he that is not against me is for me. Also, this is the devil talking. Also, he said, judge not. And how can you be a good Christian and pass judgment? How can you do that? That's the message of the devil to the Christian today. You see, controversy divides the body of Christ. Love is of God, little children. So love everybody and everything will be okay. That's how the devil speaks, using Holy Scripture falsely for his evil purpose. And it's nothing short of tragic how many of God's people are taken in by Satan's sweet talk. Remember this, Satan comes as an angel of light. So when that happens, the shepherd becomes afraid to use his club. And the wolf gets the sheep. The watchman is charmed into believing that there's no danger. And the city falls to the enemy without anybody ever taking a shot. So Satan destroys us by appealing to our own virtues. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Isn't that pretty powerful? Is yes or no? Has the church become a non-judgmental, Jesus loves everybody, come and gather with us, please? Yes or no?
For the most part, yes.
Amen.
For the most part, right? And as a result of it, they're leading us away. Oh my goodness! The weapon of racism and division. Satan is the author of confusion. We got the young girl that was stabbed to death on the train in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can't even find it on the internet. Can't even find stories about it on the internet. Anybody remember George Floyd? How many times did you see the George Floyd video everywhere you look? Why? Because Satan is the author of confusion and he wants to sow division. You know that girl that they stabbed, you know she was from the Ukraine? She was a refugee from that place where all that killing's going on. She comes over here and gets stabbed. You guys all saw it, I'm sure. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it. Evil men have crept in unaware. They change the truth of God into a lie. Did I give that to you twice? I did, okay. So I'm gonna step on some toes a little bit again this morning. Get mad if you want to. Get mad if you want to. You know, when the Ohio State Buckeyes suck, they don't. But when they do, it doesn't change me as a person. Yeah, they suck. All right. Well, if we come at a faith belief that you have, like yesterday with what we tried to show yesterday, people get all butthurt. I'm just trying to help you see the truth. Okay, There, that monologue's done. Anybody want to comment on my monologue here this morning? Because I got some other stuff I want to jump in. Again, this ain't Coach Dave Live. I started Coach Dave Live. It's just as much about you and what you think and your perspective, because I can promise you this. I get the emails. People are impacted by things you say. Responses they hear from you. They hear what I say. They listen. But then they hear something from you, and they scratch their head. So, church, if we could call this church, is supposed to be a dialogue, not a monologue. The idea of going to church and being taught by one person standing up in the pulpit is ancient. Folks, we don't even do that in schools anymore. In schools, they call it group learning. Group learning. What you want? Group learning. Yeah, you go into a classroom and they divide you into groups, and the children talk back and forth about what the lesson is, and they learn from one another. Is there any group learning in the church? Are you allowed to, in the church, question anything that the denomination believes, 44,000 different? That's why I love what we do here, because we don't all believe the same. We don't all believe the same. Yeah, we get along. We get along. You have all kinds of different theologies in here. Because why? We are what we've been taught. As I ask oftentimes, who's teaching you? Who's teaching you? Who is teaching you? What? Who told you that? That's kind of where I am. Before you, let's get Dave in there. He popped his hand up. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Coach, you asked anybody had a comment, and my comment was, and it's been 17 minutes now, so I've heard more truth bombs in the last 17 minutes than I heard 30 years going to church. And then, Coach, that's the thing that I grieve with every day. Believe me.
Amen. Amen. Dave, I hope you leave here. Folks, I hope when this show's over here, you leave here a little bit confused, to be honest with you. Whoa. I never knew that. Right? I would hope, because the Bible says to work out. Anybody of you guys out there, you work out? My workout. How about this? Do any of you out there work out without hurting? Do you? You go to the gym and work out and it never hurts? Well, I think about working out is like kneading bread. You guys know what bread, and you used to make bread in a roller pan and you knead it, and you got to work it out. You got to work it. And the scripture says to work out your own salvation. Working out. Because some of you, they're feeding some lumpy stuff in there, boys and girls. They're feeding you lumps. You got to work it out. That's the magic of Coach Dave, in my opinion. Because I can tell you, we don't all agree the same in here. But I can also tell you this. I don't get mad if you disagree with me. Why do you get mad if I disagree with you? What's going on here? Anyway, I'm rolling in circles here. I got some stuff to show you. Huh? You want to know it? Play up 14 real quick. Play 14 real quick. You may not like it. I don't care if you like it or not. God's chosen ones never go to church. Now, I don't agree with that, okay? But listen. Go ahead.
God's chosen ones never go to church. And before you gasp, before you judge, you better ask yourself what church you're even talking about. Because if you think God's elect are defined by pews, programs, and potlucks, you've already missed the gospel. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to make you feel better about your lukewarm walk. I'm here to tell you the truth. Some of you are more faithful to your Sunday schedule than you are to Christ. And hell will be filled with churchgoers who thought attendance was obedience. Do you honestly believe that going to church once or twice a week somehow makes you right with God? Do you really think the Almighty looks down from his throne and is impressed that you put on a suit, walked into a building, and sang three songs before checking your phone during the sermon? Let me tell you something that will shatter every shallow assumption you've been clinging to. God is not fooled by your routine. God is not mocked by your ritual. And God is not glorified by your attendance. He demands your obedience. We are living in an age of religious deception where millions have been inoculated against the true gospel by watered-down sermons, emotional music, and the lie that going to church equals knowing Christ. You sit in a pew. You nod at the sermon. You close your eyes during the prayer. But you leave unchanged. Why? Because your heart is still dead in sin. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're a fan of religious culture. The Pharisees went to synagogue, they tithed, they fasted, they knew the scriptures better than most pastors today, and yet Jesus said to them, "You are of your father the devil." Why? Because their hearts were unrepentant. They loved the appearance of holiness, not the reality of it. They clung to the structure but rejected the spirit. They worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. Sound familiar? Wow. It is a terrifying truth that many of you have more confidence in your weekly attendance than in the finished work of Christ. You think that showing up on Sunday makes up for the rest of the week you spend in compromise. You believe that because your name is on a church roll, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are trusting in your religion, not in the Redeemer, and that trust will damn you. Let me say it plainly, the true Christian life is not 1 hour on a Sunday. It is a complete surrender of every part of your being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is the daily crucifixion of self. It is holiness in secret, not performance in public. It is not about what you do in a building. It's about who you are when no one is watching. Amen.
Boom.
That kicked into teeth, won't it? Amen. Amen. Now look. Because why? We have been filled with religious tradition. Hey, Spence, real quickly. What does Webster say tradition is? Says the Bible says that you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. The doctrines of men are traditions, folks. That's tradition, doctrines of men. What is tradition? It's spinning. Give Spencer a second there. Tradition is the act, the delivery of opinions, doctrines, practices, rites, and customs from father to son. That's Psalm 78, by the way, or from ancestors to posterity. The transmission of any opinion or practice from forefathers to descendants by oral communication with written memorials. Thus, children derive their vernacular language chiefly from tradition. Most of our early notions are received by tradition from our parents. Tradition is that which is handed down from age to age by oral communications. The Jews pay great regard to tradition in matters of religion, as do the Romanists. Protestants reject the authority of tradition in sacred things, and we rely only on the written word. Traditions may be good or bad, true or false. So stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So think about modern evangelifishism and the battle that goes on in modern evangelifishism in your church between the tradition and they call it the move of the Spirit. And I talk to people occasionally who say, you know what, Coach? I miss the tradition. I walk into the modern evangelifish church, and sometimes I feel like I'm going into a concert. Would somebody say amen on that? Anybody out there? And I miss the tradition that has been passed down from our fathers. So somebody, there has to be a mixture of those two things, of the joy and celebration of Christianity and the gathering of people together without pooping on tradition. And Jesus said, well, I maybe can find it, Spencer, just came off the top of my head, that we teach as commandments the doctrines of men. We teach as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. So here's the point. As I often say, oh, I'm all over the place this morning. Thanks for letting me vent. Who told you that? Who told you that? But in vain, what does vain mean? Emptiness, without purpose, without effect. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines what men told them they ought to be doing. And we're all prisoners of our traditions. Okay, yesterday I beat up a little bit on Judaism. Didn't mean to, just telling the truth, I think, about Judaism. Nobody else will tell it. Everybody's afraid to say the truth. And I don't say the truth, I just ask questions. That's all I do. But I came across this today. Whoa. Pick your toes up. This is on the Vatican. I got another one target in my, another of those 44,000 denominations. Rome never fell. Listen to this.
Who is the Pope? He is the Emperor of Rome. Rome never died, never faded away. It became the Vatican. What is the Vatican? It is the priesthood of all of the old pagan religions of Rome, built upon the deception that they are Christian. Can man change the orders of God? Can man elevate himself above God? No. Then why did the Pope change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, the venerable day of the worship of the sun Osiris? Why in the outer courtyard of the Vatican is there a temple of the sun, an obelisk, and a reflecting pool built as a fountain around the base of the obelisk? Because what we're talking about in Dealey Plaza and in Washington, D.C. exists also in the Vatican. And I'm not trying to insult Catholics, I'm just trying to tell you the truth.
Amen. Oh, daggone it. I love it. Huh? I'm not trying to insult Catholics, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, just on your reference to tradition, I think when people say that, a lot of times what they're really saying is they miss the reverence. There's a yeah. Reverence. I want to see reverence in the church. I don't want to see it on the street. I want to see rebellion on the street. I want to see.
So Jack, you mean women shouldn't go to these evangelifish churches with cleavage shown? Is that what you're talking about, Jack?
No, that wasn't exactly what I was talking about, but yeah, okay.
Right? There has to be a blending of the two, right? Holiness and, I mean, come on now.
Just simple things. Coach, when I introduce my daughter to you, it's either Coach or Mr. Dobbenmeyer. When I introduce someone to the pastor, I hate it, the first name babe. I want to honor the pastor. I want to call him pastor or whatever. But we even in town, we've lost that decorum. And it's important and right some places. And the other decorum is when you get in my face on the street, I want to punch you in the face. If you don't like that decorum, we're okay too.
Wow. Jack, I remember in my coaching days, only one time did I ever have a player come up to me and call me Dave. Now, they knew my name, but it startled me. And you know why it startled me? I thought, how dare you call me Dave without any respect of who I am? I'm the coach.
Exactly.
Yes, huh? Right? We teach our children, call the coach, coach. Coach, not Dave. And what Jack's talking about is we've lost some of that. In all of our evangelifishism, we've lost them. We've lost all that reverence. Huh? We have. I don't know where I'm trying to go today. But I got a couple things I want to show you that I think are important for you to know, all right? Because we are after a relentless pursuit of... Okay, one more. All right, number four. Pull up number four. Relentless pursuit of the truth here. That's what we're after. Same guy. Statue of Liberty. Listen to this.
Statue of Liberty could not be put on land according to maritime law. It had to be put in water. So they built Harbor of New York and put the Statue of Liberty out there because the law said that they could not put it on land. Why? It's because the statue is called the Statue of Liberty, not the Statue of Freedom. We're not free. Liberty is what a sailor gets when you pull in the port. You ask the captain if you can have a little free time, and if he allows you to, most likely he's not, but if he allows you to have some time, then you get liberty. You don't have freedom. So there's a world of difference between being a free American and having liberty. So that's why you couldn't put the Statue of Liberty on our land.
It's not the Statue of Freedom. It's a Statue of Liberty, which is only something that's given to you, permitted when they feel like it.
Exactly. And any government that can give you something can take it away. That's why civil rights, there is no such a thing as a civil right. That's why you have the American Civil Liberties Union, not a civil right, meaning civil comes from government, civility.
Wow. Huh? Oh, my goodness. Words mean things. They have so torn us. Okay, now look. I'm going to play another clip here. We don't have time to watch it all. Pull up a mega churches, 15. And I would ask you all to make time to watch this. Now, you say what? It's 2 hours, 53 minutes, and 88 seconds. Nathan Apfel, I really don't, I'm sorry. Inside the dark world of mega churches and corrupt pastors. What? Hey, friends, listen. We just read it. Evil men have crept in. Where? Where have they crept in? Where have they crept in? To your house? To your restaurant? To your post office? No, evil men have crept in to Christianity, changing the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the creator. We're just going to play about 5 minutes of this. It's really, again, it's really worth it. But this first 5 minutes is pretty good. He's a filmmaker, director, the religion business. This is good stuff, man. If you have the stomach to swallow, 5 minutes of it. Go ahead.
It's about it because we're going to expose a lot of corruption within the churches. And, you know, my fear is I never want to, I prayed about this. I've thought a lot about it. And I don't want to drive anybody away from Christianity because of what's about to be revealed. And so this was a big decision for me to do this. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, before we dive too far into it, I mean, do you feel like that's happening? Do you feel like you're driving people away from Christianity by exposing this stuff?
No. Quite the opposite. I get to present, which I hope to do today, the authentic Christ. And if you're a Christian, Christ is the head of the church, your savior. I get to present the authentic Christ, I'll say unencumbered and pulled away from the machine that we have built on top of Christ's message. They're two completely different things. So I'm here today to separate the two. One is the head of accountability, which is Christ, and then one needs to be held accountable. So that's what I'm here to discuss today.
Okay. I mean, what kind of response are you getting from the documentary and all the stuff that you are exposing?
Lots.
I mean, is it what kind of responses?
Well, it's bifurcated right down the middle. Everybody who has the marbles to watch the show, every Christian that is, I'll say, humble enough and interested in taking a hard look at the system, once they watch it, they message us through DMs or they'll see me in an airport or whatever, and they just come up and give me a bear hug. Because I think what we've hit is a cultural vein that most people just can't explain or articulate, but they know there's something wrong in this system. And then the system is cloaked in the concept of Christ as our savior, salvation, and generosity and love. Mm-hmm. And so it's the perfect mask for abusing people. And not only abusing people, but abusing people at their most vulnerable state, which is, I am here to like explore my faith and my salvation and my brokenness. And when you meet someone in that spot, there are wolves that will feed, and Christ speaks heavily on this in the Bible. And so I'll preface this right now. We are here to do two things: encourage your faith and encourage your generosity. And outside of that, everything's fair game.
You know, just the words that come to my mind is trust.
It's worth watching, right? I believe this. I believe the greatest revival the world has ever seen is on the horizon. That's what I believe. In the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters prophesy, young men dream dreams, old men see visions. That's what the Bible says. I believe that's going to happen before there is ever a rapture. In the last days, that's what it says. We should see it. I haven't seen it yet. So that's kind of where my theology is. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we're the salt of the earth, why isn't the church teaching us to be the salt of the earth rather than the salt in the church? Why is everything done inside the salt shaker? And the average person cannot leave their church and know what to do with salt. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. That's why this staking thing is catching some fire. It's so easy for people to do. And then when they do it, they feel good.
They feel Amen. Good.
They feel good. Like scoring a touchdown. My nephew, Pete, his son, had it on film. Pete put it on Facebook. His son scored his first 2 points in a junior high football game. He caught a pass in the back corner of the end zone. He scored, and mom and dad were proud, and the kid was proud because he had never scored before. Let me ask you a question. You ever scored with your Christianity? You ever scored a touchdown for Jesus? When you do, you want to do it again. I think that's kind of the theme that we have here. One more thing, I'm going to open it up. Which one was it? Okay. Can somebody tell me this? Tomorrow is 9-1-1, 24 years later. Why hasn't there been an investigation into 9-1-1 after 20 some years? Why do we still believe that narrative? Okay, here it is, 9-1-1 narrative debunked in 2 minutes. By the way, wouldn't that be something good for the pastors to demand to see, that we would know the truth about 9-1-1? Wouldn't that be important for all of us to know? That our government lied to us? 2 minutes, play it.
The impact of a jet. From what I understand, the outer skeleton of the building, the outer columns, was like a fishnet, and you had these inner core columns, which were substantial, thick steel beams to withstand 4 or 5 times what the loads were.
Got it.
The engineers always overdesigned a building. No steel frame building has ever collapsed before or since 9/11. So that should say something right there. And it said that Building 7, it was a progressive collapse, that it was caused by fire. But progressive collapse, unlike the Twin Towers collapse from the top down. That's a progressive collapse,
sure.
Floor by floor by floor. But if you look at the videos of Building 7 collapsing, it collapses uniformly. It's collapsing from the bottom. The building stays intact all the way to the bottom of the ground, and you could see the sides caving in on it. For a building to collapse uniformly, which the videos show, all the load-bearing columns would have had to have failed simultaneously. Now, fire doesn't act like that. I came across an analogy of the Twin Towers, and if you could visualize cast iron stoves, stacked one on top of each other. The stoves up at the top, yes, there's fire and they've been damaged. But the stoves on the bottom, they haven't been damaged.
Okay.
So the structure underneath all of that is intact. So it's impossible for a building to collapse near free fall speed and increase
without a controlled demolition.
You're running into the path of most resistance. If something else is going on, I don't believe that it was just the planes or the fires. I think that, and they examined the dust and they found what they call thermitic material, which is like an explosive incendiary, which was in the dust samples, and that's documented. There were reports of the buildings were undergoing an extensive elevator renovation.
Whoa.
In the 2 or 3 years prior to. All kinds of workers, they had access to the cores of the building. And on the day of the attack, the elevator company would not assist in the operations of the elevators. And the elevator company,
Whoa.
It was the elevator company, it subsequently went out of business. And a couple of years after that, the information is out there. At one time when I was heavily engaged in trying to get a new investigation, I definitely felt threatened. I felt threatened for my family, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. You have sworn testimonies from firefighters regarding explosions in the building. They were suppressed. Just somebody making a statement, especially from firemen and police, if they make a statement, I heard an explosion, that's grounds to initiate an investigation. The firefighters, a bomb went off. This is their own words, made that day. They just ignored it. Just like Building 7, Dan, the impact of a...
Okay, cool. All right. Why no investigation of 911? Amazing, isn't it? All right, come on in. I got more stuff. Come on in. Somebody, save me. Rescue me here today. Come on, somebody. Vinny, come on in. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for saving me, Vinny.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good morning. So you see the Tucker Carlson is coming out with an investigation, but that's very strange because he was...
He better be careful. He better be careful. He's going to have an accident.
Yeah, because he was the biggest ardent adherent to the official story at the time, if I recall.
Amen. So there's a lot of things, see... Evil men have crept in unaware. They change the truth of God into a lie. Folks, it's right in front of all of this. Think of it, the idea of the conspiracy theory. And how they just debunk everything as a conspiracy theory. Well, is evolution a conspiracy theory? I think it's a conspiracy against God, evolution. Nobody ever says that that's a conspiracy theory because they say evolution is proven and it isn't. That's a lie. See, all of this, again, I come back, same thing. Do you have any idea how many people in the American church believe evolution? Come on, Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, not to mention the individuals that were in the belly of those towers that very day that even one of them has disappeared because he contested that they heard the explosions going on in the belly of those towers that very day that the towers
Amen.
were Amen. So, and I'm sure you've all heard about that.
Dr. Paul said settled science. That's what they tell us, right? So, hey, Spencer, just kind of Google while we're talking here. Architects and Engineers for Truth. 911 Truth, Architects and Engineers for truth. See if it doesn't pop up here. you know, there's a group of guys, you know, it's out there. Architects and Engineers for Truth. They said, that's not, Richard Gage is the founder of it. That's not true. That's not true. They're lying to us. That's what they said. Can't get any traction at all. Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. Who? Well, they're scientists, aren't they? I thought it was settled science. Settled science. James, come on in.
Yeah, nice in regards.
Spencer, hang on. Spencer, keep looking because there ought to be a website. You ought to come across a website. Go ahead, Jack. All right, James.
Yeah, in regards to the mega churches, I mean, Jesus kind of, when he talked about planting the wheat and his servant said, hey, man, we got some tares that have been planted in this field. You want us to go pluck them up? I think the tares have overcome the wheat in these mega churches. I mean, there's no holding. I what you said a while ago in regards to the greatest, I think, outpouring. God is going to remove this chaff. I believe that's coming, and God is going to do something in the midst. People, I was watching Sid Roth has a half hour prayer thing, and it's a half hour of praying in the spirit. It's really good. And they were praying this morning about revival, bringing revival to the schools and bringing revival to the church and bring, you know, whatever. But I kind of noticed something. It was all women. Where did the men? It was probably 5 men and 100 women. I not to give my sisters, but there's a balance that we have to pray, and the man has to be awakened by the Spirit of the living God, or I don't see any hope in anything.
But we just remember this. I just spoke about this. We have feminized Christianity. We have feminized Jesus. He loves everybody. He doesn't judge anybody. He comes along. He loves you so much. We've so feminized the gospel. Onward, Christian soldiers is probably about to be banned in American churches, unless it's already been banned. When's the last time that at your church you heard them sing that song? Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. What has happened to that spirit in the American church? It's been replaced with, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Because why? That makes us feel better. And so those people sat on that tram, and watched that girl get stabbed and didn't move. Didn't move. So it's unbelievable. It's really an indictment of America. But they let it happen. Nobody said anything. Good. Come on back in, James and Jack. No,
you done? I'm good. That's a break my heart, man. We're the pushback. You know, the Church of the Living God is the pushback on demonic. And this is demonic. It's no, you can't say it was a black person or a bad person. It's demonic.
Lies. He's a father of lies, folks. He's a father of lies. It's a father of lies. And by the way, hey, Steve Deck, you out there today? Steve Deck told me that he couldn't, when he first heard me speak, he couldn't stand it. Is that true out there? I don't know, Steve, he's coming this way today. Huh? Couldn't stand it. Why? Huh? Yelling? Are you kidding me? What? No. We want guys to stand in the pulpit and rub our back and tell us how brave we are. Right, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. Once I heard you speak in person, the switch went off and I got it, you know. It's all good. I watched like five videos of you, or partial videos. I'm like, I can't take this guy. Too much yelling and screaming. But once in person, it was like a switch that went off on me. And when I met you, the first thing you said to me was, boy, I got a live wire here. Call me a live wire.
Amen. So look, folks, we're serving. I'm telling you the truth, okay? Men love football. They love wrestling. They love competition, and we're serving them. What are we serving them in our churches? If you had any testosterone at all and weren't saved, what would make you walk in a church? Why would you ever want to go be one of us? Onward, Christian soldiers. You know why guys sit around and watch football on Sunday afternoons? Because they're living vicariously through those guys on the field. They wish that was them. They wish they had that courage. It's totally, completely missing in the church.
Hey, Coach, I can answer your question. I got an answer for your question here. I think I just called to answer. Why would you want to walk in church? Well, the thing people would be looking for is the courage that Jesus had to face the cross, certain death.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. You know, absolute courage to face death to do what was right.
So, hey, you know what? Flip Benham, are you guys sitting down? You ought to write this one down. Flip Benham, when I first had my awakening, James and Jack, you both still have your hands up. If you want to come in, leave them up. But my first awakening, Flip Benham said something to me I'll never forget. Never, ever forget. Are you ready? You ready? Everybody wants to follow Jesus till they find out where he's going. And he's going to a cross. And he's telling you, pick up your cross, follow me. And we have created a costless Christianity. It don't cost you anything to be a Christian. when Jesus told us in Matthew that you would be hated of all men. Matthew 6. Pull it up there, Spence. It was in Matthew 5. I'm sorry. I come to scripture all. I'll get right with you. Huh? No, Matthew 5. I'm sorry. Matthew 5. Blessed. Going down. And blessed are you. Verse 11. How's that start in 10? See if they're selling this in your church. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the words of our Savior. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, wait a minute. Why would men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you if Jesus' message was always love, 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 love? What is it about love that would make men mad? Make men want to persecute you and revile you? What is it? Evidently, it must not have been his message. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad when they do that. Why? For great your reward in heaven. That's what they did to all the prophets that came before you. If you're going to stand up and speak the truth, they're going to throw tomatoes, baby. Throw tomatoes. They ain't throwing candy canes. Why? Because you're the salt of the earth. But if the church stops being salt, it's good for nothing. And the church has become... I heard you, Michelle. I just heard it because our spirits are... Same thing over and over, right? Coach Dave talks about over and over and over. I have to say that because, can I tell you why? Because you are every day, I just know this, being tugged away from this group because you convict others. They don't want to be convicted. They say, you're a good Christian. You're supposed to love everybody. You're not supposed to judge everybody. Right? That's sugar, folks. That ain't salt. Jesus says, you give them salt, they're going to hate you. Yep, they're going to hate you. Craig, come on.
Boom.
Well, Coach, I've been blessed here because through Saving God's Children, a gentleman said, hey, you need to talk to Child Evangelism Fellowship. They do the Good News Club. And so I got to talk to the guy who does the three western counties of Maryland, Frederick, Washington, and Garrett. Has 150 volunteers that come in, and they get their initial training because it's the beginning of the school year. It's like, hey, this is what we're going to be doing with the kids, blah, 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 right? And he said, would you come in and would you speak? I have three sessions to 150 people about what's going on with child sex trafficking and stuff. So I've been able to do that. And I went Saturday, about 50 people, and I gave them everything about Saving God's Children, had a PowerPoint presentation. And I got invited to two different churches. And one of the churches is...
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And so... One of the ladies, she was a female pastor, and she came up to me and she was saying, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, I was talking about spiritual warfare and they're in the boots, you know, because of kids. And she said, boy, you know, I wish I could get some men, you know. She's like, I'm trying to get the men to come out of my church, get going, you know. So the thing is I would just encourage the people that are listening here, use Saving God's Children as a tool to get into the church. And let the Lord open the doors. So then I went last night again, and I went, and there was five guys and 20 ladies. And I told them, I said, well, this is the problem with one of the things that we have here. And I said, I go to all the human trafficking coalitions here in Washington County. And, you know, like, I feel like I'm in a nursing home. I mean, the odds of getting a good date. I mean, man, if something happens to Pam, I'm going to be all right. Cause I mean, I'm like, you know, the only guy there. Right. So, they just ate up. And then one of the pastors, he does a battlement group. I went to his church, right? 50 men on a Saturday morning for breakfast on Labor Day, Saturday, right? Yep. And I've been talking to him about Saving God's Children. And he's a good guy, right? But he heard my thing. He came up to me and says, are you available to speak either the end of this Saturday or next Saturday? Come talk to our men about what you're doing. And I said, absolutely. So the thing is, you know, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to plow the road in your own local community.
Amen. Amen. But Craig, here's the magic. This is what putting the stones out is all about. It's so non-threatening, and it gets a Christian man involved with his faith. Involved with his faith. And, you know, Craig just hit on something right there. I get women that want to do it. I don't hear much from men wanting to stake it. I'm not talking about you guys in here. I'm talking about people around me. Well, the women want to get involved. They think it's a good idea. Men, not so much. So again, we have to figure out how we engage men with their faith. We're not taught how to do it in our churches. We're not, folks. Come on, go to a men's breakfast. Glenn, hey, Glenn, you go to a men's breakfast, huh? Is it a hard gospel hit it, or is a men's breakfast nothing more than let's all get together and pat each other on the back? And by the way, we'll bring a friend with him and introduce him to our church. Yes or no? Is that what?
Yeah. Huh? Well, there's no, there's never a challenge. There's never a challenge to men for their faith.
Right. And that's what we need. That's what men need. Right. Why would I want to be one? Remember I told you the story? I'm like, why would I? I don't want to lose my balls. Why would I want to come be a Christian? That's the impression.
Coach, could I just chime in here for just a second? And this would be good with Glenn, right? Because Glenn's a doer, right? So yeah. Make Spencer pull up refinersfire2025.com, resources, trifold. So go print some trifolds off on your printer, fold them up, take them in, go to your men's group and say, hey, you know, I've been praying for these churches here, and I've been going around doing this, and here's a trifold, and here's a website. And just tell them your story. Right. And I said, I'm looking for some guys that would like to go along with me. And
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, by the way, sorry. This is what our pastors are supposed to be doing. Right. And how many of you out there have gone to your pastor? And well, first of all, probably you haven't. But how many have gone to your pastor? And he says, wow, that's a great job for our men. No, because they are risk. What's the word? Averant. If it looks risky, they ain't going to do it. Sadly, that's where we are.
So true. Right? Risk averse.
Yep. If it might cause a controversy, they ain't going to do it. They're building something in there. We just don't know what it is they're building. Jack, we've got 3 minutes. Averse. Thanks, Paul. Averse.
Okay. Just real quick. A little history before 9/11. Three-star General Parton, who wrote the Army Demolition Handbook, how to do it. He said that Oklahoma City was absolutely a lie. Everything they told you about settled science in Oklahoma City was a lie. Think about that for a second. Before 9/11, okay, and the other thing on going to the prayer breakfast, I walked into one that I was invited to with my bright yellow shirt that says Natural Family and a bright yellow yard sign, and nobody asked me what that was.
Isn't that something? Why didn't they ask you? Why didn't they ask you, Jack?
Because they knew I'd tell them.
They knew you'd tell them. Don't bring that in here. Don't you bring that salt in here. We got sugar here. We've been working real hard to build this sugar kingdom here. Don't you be bringing salt in here. Really? I'm sorry. Same thing over and over, isn't it? But say, I'm going to ride this horse. I'm going to ride. Many are called. Few are chosen. Broad is the way. Narrow is the gate. Many come. Only a few find it. And I'm not here to say that Coach Dave Live is the way, the truth, and the life. I ain't. No. But I go back to what the old Lion King was. Christian man, you looking at me out there? Dude, you are so much more than you've become, Christian man. The power of the universe dwells inside us. Christian men, the Holy Spirit of God inside us. He says, you open your mouth and speak, and he is speaking through you. Oh my goodness. What we could do to change the world. See you tomorrow.